Genealogy by Tim, Season 4, Episode 11, recorded December 1st, 2024. Welcome to the penultimate Genealogy by Tim podcast of 2024. This is Episode 11, and I'm still in a rut as far as new discoveries are concerned, but the computers that I have been preparing to give out to members of my family are just about ready to ship. I'll tell you what's on them. And then I'll do a brief first impressions of the three genealogy software programs that I've installed on these computers. Just get a little something different in there. And then I'll let you know what my future research plans are once I get back in the swing of researching things. All that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. As regular listeners may be aware, and are probably tired of hearing of by now, but they have to hear it because it's pretty much the only thing I've done over the past few months, I am making computers to give out to family members. I've got four of them. These were purchased used on eBay. Very inexpensive Chromebooks. $14 each plus $14 shipping and handling or so, and then five USB storage dongles at about $10 each. Makes these computers highly affordable at around the $40 price point. Now, I've gone ahead and bought some Graham Family Clan decals to stick on the outside of these computers so that when the people receive them, they know that this is the research genealogy computer. They don't even have to open it. It's right there on the label. And those stickers were like about $3 each. So it's interesting, like, I think I spent about $18 total on these stickers put on the outside, and that's almost the price of two 128 gigabyte USB dongles. So it's amazing how far we've come making these dongles affordable or making these stickers expensive, one or the other. But the computers are looking pretty sharp. I'll have photos of them linked in the show notes. The idea with the computers is that they are passwordless so that the information won't be lost behind a password. That was one of my major concerns. Conceiving this project was that, you know, if something happens to me, all of my computers are password protected. No one will be able to access my research. So I made these computers to give away as kind of like an off-site backup mechanism, and then also to be readily accessed and used outside of personal sensitive information that, you know, is typically password protected on computers. So when you turn the computer on, it boots up, bypasses any type of login screen, shows the slick-looking wallpaper that I downloaded from some website somewhere. In fact, I should probably go look that up and give those people proper credit and link to that in the show notes. But I got a pretty cool-looking wallpaper on there. And that shows first, and then automatically the Gramps genealogy software loads. And I have four different people that these computers are going to, two brothers, a sister, and parents. And those people have been set to the home person on each of these software packages. So when they turn on the computer, they should see themselves first. And then I think it remembers, like if you go and navigate to some other people and then turn the computer off, it'll remember where you navigated to. So the next time they open it, they'll see their most recently viewed person. I also have installed on the computer the Shotwell Photo Manager, which I used early on in my genealogy adventures. I used to tag a lot of photos. I've fallen out of the habit of tagging photos in a photo organizer. So it was fun to see when I installed this software, Shotwell, and imported the photos. It was fun to see some of the old tags popping up and thinking, why haven't I done this in a while? So the tags, I've got a lot of photos that are untagged. Most of the tagged photos were tagged a decade ago or more. So that's kind of in an unupdated state, but should still be interesting and fun to view. I also have the Feh Image Viewer, F-E-H is the name of the software. I don't know if it stands for something, but F-E-H is the name of the image viewer. Probably stands for something. I should probably look that up. But that is a highly customizable, command-driven image viewer that I've got set up to just when the icon is double-clicked, it'll just start a random slideshow, randomly picking all images that I've collected, gravestones, faces, people, documents, and just show those images in a slideshow. So that's kind of fun. I just want to put on a random slideshow. Images, poof, there's an icon on there to do that. The computer comes with the Firefox web browser, which browsing the web is not the primary purpose of the computer, but if any If it is desired to follow up on any sources, the Firefox web browser is there to do that, and it's set to be private browsing by default. And that way, if anyone logs into any website with a username and password, that password will be forgotten. Because remember, the computer's not bound any password. So I don't want people entering sensitive password information into the browser and having that be remembered. So all passwords that are entered into the browser are forgotten unless the user goes into the settings and changes that, which I will advise them not to do. In addition to these software packages, the Gramps Genealogy software, the Shotwell Image Organizer, the Fay Image Viewer, and the Firefox web browser, I thought, hey, why not just go ahead and add a couple more free open source genealogy software packages to these computers. And the two that I've added are Ancestry, A-N-C-E-S-T-R-I-S. I believe it's a French-based. I believe the developers are based in France, hence the spelling Ancestry with an I-S at the end. And also the text-based Lifelines genealogy software, which I don't really expect anyone to use, but hey, it's a genealogy computer. Why not put whatever on there? Anything genealogy related. But I do want to cut it off somewhere. The holiday season is coming up, and I do want to deliver these computers to people sometime around the holiday season. I get 2 full weeks off of school this year, and I want to get to see everyone and give them their computers. And then lastly, what I did most of the day yesterday while I was sick in bed over this Thanksgiving holiday break was I wrote a pretty lengthy kind of readme, things I think the users of these computers ought to know before using them too much. And I made that a page on my website that the Firefox browser automatically opens to as a home page. So the readme, if they open up the Firefox web browser, the home page it shows up is like a readme file. And that I've also downloaded and stored locally on each computer, so it shows up even before they connect to any web wireless internet. So yeah, that in a nutshell, the genealogy computer project is winding up, and that's what I've got on these computers, and you can see pictures of them through the link in the show notes. So I know I've been on these computers for the past 2 episodes and most of this episode, but I wanted to throw in a little something different this month, and I may expand this in the future and make a full in-depth episode about it, but I thought it'd be cool to offer some first impressions of the 3 free and open source genealogy software programs that I've installed on these computers. Free and open source means that you can download this software for free, that is, you don't pay anything for it, and these projects accept donations, so if you want to keep them running, the cool thing to do would be to donate if you find value in them. They're also open source, meaning that if you're a developer, software developer, you can fork the code either to make adjustments for your own purposes or to start a side project based on the code, and you can fork it. Suppose, for example, that one of these open source projects kind of ends its development, the developers kind of decide they want to move on to other projects, you can grab a copy of the source and continue making updates to it. And that's not for everyone, of course, but it's just interesting to know that that can be done. It's more of a collaborative effort to satisfy a need that exists in the world rather than a for-profit venture. Not that there's anything wrong necessarily with doing things for a profit, but this is another way of doing things to get software out there, to get it used, to fill that need. So I installed these 3 free open source genealogy software packages onto the computer. Gramps is one of them at grampsproject.org. Ancestry is another one. That's at ancestry.org. That's tree with an I-S. Ancestry, T-R-I-S. And the other software package is called Lifelines. That's a text-only genealogy software package. And that's at lifelines.sourceforge.net. The first genealogy software that I installed is Gramps. That's the one that I use on my daily driver. I've been using it since pretty much the beginning. Like, I started off with the personal ancestral file from FamilySearch in the very beginning. And within just a couple months, I switched over to Gramps I think the main reason was that I'm a Linux guy, and I discovered that Gramps was the Linux genealogy software, so I switched over, and then not long after I switched over, Personal Ancestor File was discontinued in favor of the FamilySearch web interface. But I believe Gramps, G-R-A-M-P-S, is the most well-known and most well-used of the free and open-source genealogy softwares. At the time I started using Gramps, it was an acronym that stood for Genealogical Research and Analysis Management Programming System. But I'm looking at Wikipedia here, and it says formerly an acronym. So I guess they're not going by that anymore, but I thought it was kind of clever. But this is my go-to software. It's fully featured. To my knowledge, it doesn't tie into Ancestry the way Family Tree Maker does and give hints. I believe there are some tie-ins. I personally don't have an Ancestry.com account, so I have not used those tie-ins. But to my knowledge, they're not as sort of robust and well-integrated as that, you know, wiggling leaf when you get hints. But other than that, I found the software to be fully featured, and I've always been able to do the things that I need to do. One thing to look out for is that a lot of the most interesting functionality, including the graph view, is installed via third-party add-ons. Some of those third-party add-ons need additional dependencies, such as GooCanvas. So setting up can be a little bit of a challenge to get really the coolest features on there. But for a computer nerd like me, it's not really a big deal. And of course, I set these all up to the hilt when I created my 4 genealogy giveaway computers. So that's Gramps. Give it a try. You know, I've considered lately kind of abandoning Gramps and using just the WebTrees website as my single driver for genealogy research. The trouble with that is that it requires an internet connection, and some places don't offer internet connection. Interestingly, the Philadelphia City Archives, to my knowledge, don't provide Wi-Fi in the building. And then, you know, I always imagine that I might be in this situation, but I never am. But suppose I'm out in a cemetery in the woods somewhere, and I want to look up something in my family tree and see, you know, confirm, deny, whatever research I'm doing in the cemetery. And suppose, additionally, for some reason, my cell phone signal, maybe it's that far out of the way, or maybe my phone's dead or whatever. I mean, the farther we get along technologically, the less likely I am to be in this situation. But I still like to have a copy of my genealogy data that doesn't rely on an internet connection. So I just have a hard time letting go of Gramps as my primary driver. And then when I want to update my website, I export from Gramps and import to the website. And then the trouble with doing it that way is that I can't really make my website collaborative, because any changes made by other people would be overwritten. But anyway, Gramps is here to stay for me anyway, even though I have a interactive website that I could use instead. And that just sort of goes to show how useful I think it is and how cool I think it is. But it's not the only free and open source genealogy program out there. I've also installed Ancestry on these computers that I'm about to give away. Now, back in my earlier days of genealogy research, I happened upon another free and open source genealogy software called Genealogy J. I thought it was cute. Some of the icons are kind of cute, but it didn't really take off for me. But I did keep it around on my computer because it offered a way to print like a full map of the family tree that I was not able to find in Gramps. So this is one of the benefits of having multiple genealogy softwares accessible to you, is because not all of them offer the same reporting features. So this software, Genealogy J, had this really cool, like, print a full map of your family tree or limit it to certain people. So I kept that around, and then I was kind of disappointed to see that development on Genealogy J stopped in 2010. That's the latest release. And I think there was some beta developments after that, but they never came out with a full release after 2010. But that's where someone came around and forked Genealogy J once development on that stopped, and they created the Ancestry genealogy software, which still retains some of the look and feel of the original Genealogy J. Now, if you're looking at Genealogy J and Ancestry as kind of natural progression, one from the other, Genealogy J began in development in 1998, which is impressive. I did not know that that was in development for so long. Gramps was first released in 2001, just 3 years later. So these are both long-standing, well-established software projects. Gramps beginning in 2001, Genealogy J beginning in 1998, and that project kind of morphing into Ancestry. Ancestry's first release was 2009, and its most recent release was this past June. And one thing I really like about Ancestry is the views are very highly customizable. Like, you can click and drag windows, positioning them differently here and there on your screen. If you want something to be vertically oriented, you can put it to the side. If you want something to be horizontally oriented, you can put it toward the bottom. But just the click and drag interface and the various things that you can display on the screen at once, display on the screen in tabs, is just very customizable, very convenient. And that's the one thing I would say Ancestry has over Gramps, is the customizability of the views. Unfortunately, on these computers that I made, I found Ancestry to be very slow with the GEDCOM file that I'm importing, which is over 6,000 names. So it could be something that performs better if you have a smaller GEDCOM that you're working with, but I kind of don't feel like Ancestry is going to get a lot of use on the computers that I made, because, you know, every time you load the software, it has to import that GEDCOM, and at 6,000 names, it's kind of a lot. Now, if you're working on a powerful computer, that may not be noticeable. It may be that these used Chromebooks don't really pack a lot of power, so it's taking a while to load that. But that's just one pitfall I found about this particular software. Ancestry, very customizable with its looks and its views, but also slow to load. And for those who care, I could mention that Gramps is Python-based software, and Ancestry is Java-based software. And Genealogy J was Java-based software, and that continued through its transition to Ancestry. And now for the third and final Genealogy software that I installed on these computers, Lifelines. Lifelines is a little different. It's a little nerdier. It's text-based, so when you open it, it opens in a terminal, and then there's kind of key commands. Do you want to import? Here's this key. Do you want to browse to a person? Type the name, browse to a person. Press F to view the father, press M to view the mother, that sort of thing. So it's a text-based genealogy software. I don't think I would use it a lot. I kind of have it on there as a curiosity, and I just started poking around in it last night. And I found it kind of difficult to use, but I'm just getting the hang of it, right? I'm a Linux guy, so text-based stuff shouldn't intimidate me too much. And what's interesting about text-based software in general, especially command line-based software, is that it's good at performing batch operations. And, you know, I haven't experimented yet with Lifelines doing this, but here's what I'm thinking. I'm not saying the software can do this, but what I'm thinking is, suppose I'm a professional genealogist and I have, you know, 50 GEDCOMs that I'm working on, and I want to do something to them all, you know, add some kind of feature, all right, strip out some kind of incorrect information. Text-based software and command line software is generally very good and fast and quick at doing those kinds of operations. Not super cool for everyday use, a little clunky, but it does have its place. So, you know, maybe in a future episode I'll do a full review of this software. And here's one downside. So I think I'm going to give a glow and a grow to every software that I review here. The glow for Lifelines is that text-based and command-line-based software is generally very good at batch operations. But the grow here for Lifelines is that I had one same-sex couple in the whole database of 6,000 people, and Lifeline simply would not load the GEDCOM. It threw an error and said, well, this person, identification number, blah, 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 is an M and it should be an F. And I was like, well, no, because they got same-sex marriage, so they were married. So no, it's an M and an M. So that, I found, is unfortunate. And that could be a deal breaker for a lot of people. I mean, I'm pretty sure most people know somebody who is gay or you know, in a same-sex relationship. And it would be nice to put those in your family tree software. Now, I'm kind of like, I know a lot of gay people, but they happen not to be in my family, by and large. I mean, I've met one guy who's gay. I've never known him to have a partner, but he might. And then this person, this couple that I have in my database is like far, far away, deep in the mama research. It has to be like an eighth cousin or something. Because I have an eighth cousin in a same-sex relationship, Lifelines would not even load the JEDCOM. We'll say, oops, error. Here's an M and an M, should be an M and an F. So this could be a deal breaker for a lot of, I imagine it would be a deal breaker for a lot of people. Most people somewhere far enough away in their tree, or you know somebody, I'm not saying it's got to be far away, but like most people are going to have a same-sex couple in their tree nowadays. And you can't just refuse to load because there's a same-sex couple. And I did a little Google search on this to see, like, are we fixing this? Is this a thing that can be fixed? I came across the blog of Stuart Blandon Tremaine. His sixth generation blog addresses this issue, that there's genealogy software out there that kind of isn't up with the times on same-sex relationships. So I'll link to that in the show notes. Now, the Lifeline software, it's kind of hard to tell if this is out of development or not, because on one hand it says, well, the last stable release was 2016. By the way, this software was first issued in 1992. So it's one of the older software packages that I'm trying out. By older, I mean longest running. But it says the latest release was 2016. And it also says on the Lifelines website, Lifelines was written by Tom Wetmore, circa 1991 to 1994, and he has now placed it under an MIT-style license. Tom no longer works on Lifelines, but does occasionally participate on the Lines L mailing list. So it says that the developer no longer works on it, but then it also says on Wikipedia that Lifelines is maintained by a team of volunteers. So kind of some mixed messaging there as to, you know, whether the software is still being developed. If the software is being maintained by a team of volunteers, it's, you know, interesting that they haven't released a stable version since 2016. But hopefully they will, you know, get together and put out a new release and maybe fix the same-sex issue that I'm pretty sure will drive away and render useless the software for many people out there. So that's it. Those are the three software packages that I've installed on these computers that I plan to give away. And maybe in the future I'll do a more in-depth comparison of these three. But that'll have to do for this month. And that's about all I have for you this month. Now that the computers are all made up, I don't have to spend so much time on those anymore. I can get back to some good old-fashioned research. And really what I've been wanting to do this month is add as many grams as I can to that database. So if you look in the statistics on my website, webtrees.genealogybytim.com, you'll see I've got Mama at number one with 742 names. That's after this giant Mama transcription project of last year. Graham is in second place with 153 names, so I want to get Graham back up on top. So I'm just kind of scouring all my lines looking for places where I can add some more Grahams. I was working last week on the descendants of Patrick Graham. Patrick Graham is a sibling of my grandfather's grandfather, John Graham. John came to America, Patrick didn't, but Patrick had at least two children who came to America eventually, Bridget Anastasia Graham and Bernard Graham. And I'm looking to add some more Grahams to my family tree there, but it looks like, well, Bridget Anastasia married a fellow named Alexander McDonald, so her name changed and I got McDonald's on that branch. And then Bernard, I believe, had just one daughter, a Christine Graham, who married a Christopher Marcunas, and they had at least two daughters. So it looks like I'm not getting many more Grahams out of that line. So I'm going to come back over to another line that I haven't investigated very thoroughly, and that would be the Edward Graham line. Edward Graham is another sibling of John Graham, my grandfather's grandfather. He came to America. He had kids here in America. And one of his living descendants is the actress Heather Graham, which would be an interesting project to see if I can get like an autographed photo of Heather Graham for my collection. But I don't actually have that many grams in that line in my tree, so I think I'm going to spend a lot of time in the coming weeks filling out the Edward Graham line and maybe get some of those gram numbers back up there to rival the mummas. So, yes, that's going to be my project for the coming weeks, and you'll hear about it here. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.